next week. So I hope he gives a little bit of a preview or insight into his series for the small group series that he's going to do, which is you just come on Thursday and you just receive like drinking out of a fire hose. Oh, yes. And it's going to be on end times. The whole thing is going to be on end times. And it's going to be a targeted series. So he's going to have 7 sessions on that. So make sure you sign up over there, okay, and attend this. I really encourage you to attend this. Now more than ever before, there are signs of the Lord's return that we ought to be aware of. So I just want to let you know that. You will also notice that if you took a look at the scripture that we're going to be going over today, we skipped over Luke chapter 10 through 17. And the reason for that is we have a section of Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And the reason for that is we have another section coming up on the healing on the Sabbath, and that's in chapter 14. So I'm going to combine both of those together in one message rather than split it up like this. And so today we're going to be going into Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 30. And I thought how interesting that is that we have a lot of storms and things that are unforeseen in our lives. A couple of weeks ago, I did preach upon the Jesus talking about being able to tell the weather. And because we're able to tell the weather, when we see that there's a certain kind of clouds in the sky in the evening or the morning, and he said, you're able to tell the weather, but you're not able to tell the signs of the times. And so he was critical of the people because there he was, the kingdom of God, right in their midst, and missing the whole big sign that says the kingdom of God is here. And so he was really kind of looking at that and saying, you know, guys, you got to be watchful of the weather. I don't know if you guys, how many of you watched the news, weather forecast last couple of days of hurricane time? I don't know about you, but I was kind of fixated to the TV. And one of the things that was a problem was how slow the hurricane moved, right? So I, at least it gave me time to clean up my house, right? So many people admit the same thing. I hope I'm not the only guilty one. So, you know, I spend time outside. I clean up over here, clean up the porch, the back area, clean up the garage, clean up the staircase when there's a bunch of rubbish on there. And check the rain gutters, make sure that there's, it's all clear and things like that. And then we wait and we wait and we wait. And then yesterday comes, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday came. And then finally, kind of like the all clear, the hurricane's gone, and it's now a tropical storm. Still causing a lot of rain and everything. But then I turned to Amy and said, oh, now that the hurricane's gone, I can put all my mess back out. You know, some of us are like that. When there's impending disaster, impending trouble, we hear the warnings, and then we prepare, and rightfully so. And then when the kind of the warning goes away, everything goes back to normal, then our mess comes back out. And so the point for my point here is that I want to make sure that I try to keep everything clean now, right? But Jesus wants us to take heed of his warning so that we may enter his kingdom. That's his whole desire, his whole pronouncement to the people at that time. And it continues to be a pronouncement to us as we live in our time today. So let's take a moment as we take a look at our message today entitled, God's Kingdom Is... dot, dot, dot. Father in heaven, I'm sure that your kingdom really goes beyond any possibility of explanation. We cannot fully comprehend it here. We cannot fully comprehend you. But we thank you that one day, Lord, even though we see partially today, and just like seeing through a frosted glass today, one day we will see face to face. One day we will enter your kingdom as we follow Jesus Christ. And then we can see then clearly all the things that Jesus is encouraging us to behold and embrace. And at that time, Lord, I am certain we will be grateful that we took heed of Jesus' warnings and Jesus' words. In Jesus' name I pray today. Amen. God's kingdom is ... If you have your notes page from your bulletin, if you could take that out, we have a couple of blanks in there you can fill out, and we just want to see what we can learn from the kingdom. As I alluded to, God's kingdom is really beyond all kinds of description. But there are a number of things that we can know about God's kingdom that we're just really certain of. And so to the degree we can talk about that in this particular passage of Scripture, let's go ahead and see what this particular Scripture says. So if you have a pen, if you have your paper there, I'd like you to write in that first blank that God's kingdom is relentlessly expanding. Can you write expanding in that blank there? Relentlessly expanding. And Jesus here gives us a couple of illustrations. Let's read from Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. And we'll have that up on the projection. So let's go ahead and take a look at that and read that together. Okay, ready, go. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." So here Jesus gives us two simple analogies, something that anybody would be able to understand back in that day or any day since. First of all, let's note that he is talking about the kingdom of God. He says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and the mustard tree. And one of the things that he's pointing out here is that the mustard seed is very, very small. And Darren was very gracious to be able to collect them some seeds from that big tree that was out there that was cut down. And you'll see that this is not a mustard tree, but you remember how big the tree was, right? And you can see how small this little seed is. And the mustard tree is like that. And that is, it starts off with a very small seed. In fact, Jesus at one point calls it the smallest seed in the garden. Now, it may or may not have been the smallest seed technically, but his point is that it starts off very small and then it grows very big. Now, he could have used a seed like a sesame seed, and if he used the seed of a sesame seed, it's about the same size. A mustard seed and a sesame seed is about the same size. So small that a sesame seed can get stuck in your teeth, right? And a mustard seed grows to that big, 10 feet or more in size. A sesame plant, however, only grows like maybe 3-5 feet tall. And so his point here is, although the kingdom starts very small, it's going to grow really big. And it grows so big that the birds are going to be perched in its branches, which means it serves the nature around it. It serves the animals around it. It's big enough to serve things around it. It's a little bit more difficult for birds to perch in a sesame plant. But again, the idea is that it starts small, but it grows big. And then he gives another illustration of yeast in the dough. And the point of this illustration is that the kingdom is like the yeast. Kingdom is like the yeast in the dough. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, we had an illustration about yeast in the dough. We're going to look at this a little bit differently now. So Jesus says that the yeast, this woman puts some yeast in the dough, a large amount of dough, and then it works throughout the whole amount of dough. So yeast is a microorganism, of course, and then it just multiplies and it multiplies, and pretty soon it fills the entire dough. It works throughout the whole dough. That is Jesus' point, throughout the dough. Now, on the surface, it's a very simple explanation, but I do want to say something. I want to make a comment here about if you do some further research, you're going to find a number of different explanations for this. Some of these are very different. Okay, so I want to provide an explanation here. So commentators really differ on the view of yeast in the Bible. Some say that the yeast is always negative, that yeast represents sin. And anytime you see the word yeast or the usage of yeast, it stands for something that's bad or evil or sinful. Others say that yeast is just an analogy, can be used in a positive sense or a negative sense. And I'll tell you where I'm coming from in this, because I don't want you to get confused by reading different kind of commentaries. I'm of the opinion that yeast and anything else in the Bible can be used in both a negative and positive way. And I believe that this is that Jesus is using the word yeast here in a positive way. Compare that to a couple of weeks back when we're talking about Jesus warning the people about the yeast of the Pharisees. He said, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, obviously, that is something negative. Beware of that yeast, because that kind of yeast grows as well. But also, the kingdom of God also grows. And it seems from the context here that this is the way Jesus is using it, that kingdom of God here is not equated to sin, but it's equated to the kingdom. The yeast here is not equated to sin, but it's equated to the kingdom of God. So this yeast reproduces quietly. It reproduces slowly. It takes hours and hours and hours for the yeast to work throughout the whole dough. And it works from the inside out. And the gospel is like that. One person sharing with another person. One person inviting somebody to church or helping that person through a situation, a crisis, and doing it in Jesus' name, and planting little seeds like that in people's hearts. And then the yeast works throughout the whole dough. That is our testimony. The Word of God works throughout the whole dough. And then the baker puts it in the oven. Okay, that's not what part of the parable. It's not part of the parable. I just kind of threw that in, just to kind of make you think about the end times, when it might get a little hot. Okay, so I'm just saying that tongue in cheek. All right. So both parables, parable of the mustard tree and the seed, and the parable of the yeast, see, the kingdom starts small, but it is relentlessly expanding. It relentlessly expands. And I think you want to take heart that when you're walking in this faith, the faith we call following Jesus Christ, that you are part of something big, really, really big. And even if it seems small, even if it started small, today it is very, very big. But I don't want us to take it for granted. I want us to be encouraged on one level, that saying that we are part of this, something that's huge. On the other hand, I don't want us to take it for granted, saying, oh yeah, we're just kind of get swept into the kingdom by the current of this big kingdom. We don't want to have that kind of attitude. It's a dangerous attitude to have. We want to always be watchful about our own walk. So the first point is the kingdom of God is relentlessly expanding. B, the kingdom of God is on God's terms, not ours. Can you write that in your notes? On God's terms, not ours. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 28. Luke 13, 22 to 28. Okay, it's a longish passage of scripture. Let's go ahead and read that together. Kate, ready, go. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, please, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you, or where you came from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. Jesus' emphasis here is make every effort to enter. And I want to say this with a lot of emphasis. Your effort to enter the kingdom matters. Your effort to enter the kingdom matters. Now, we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. But Jesus is watching to see what kind of effort are you making? How are you actually manifesting this thing that he died for, this redemption that he died for to pay the price? How are you manifesting that? How are you displaying that? Who can effort for you? Can somebody else effort for you? The answer is no. You have to make that effort. It's an individual thing. On that day when we stand before the Lord, we won't be able to say, oh, wow, Lord, you know, John Wong, he made effort for me. Can I get in? That's not going to work. I have to make my own effort. We're going to get to a place where we're going to talk a bit about what that means. But he says, we need to participate. There's a part that we play in this. And he says, enter through the narrow door. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 talks about a wide door. It's a corresponding cross-reference. You can take a look at that. So there's a narrow door and there's a wide door that lots of people are going to go through and miss the kingdom. And I want to say this. It's not just effort. It's because he said many will try. It's making effort. Many's going to make effort. But they use that effort at the wide door. They're not efforting at the narrow door. And when you effort at the wide door, you will fail. So what is the narrow door? The narrow door is the door of repentance. We just talked about this last week and the last couple of passages of Scripture. And he said, unless you repent, you too will perish. So repentance is part of that narrow door. He talked about believing, having faith in Jesus Christ. That is part of that narrow door. Repentance simply means to change my mind, right? So if I'm walking this way, I'm walking away from Jesus or not even caring about Jesus, to repent means, oh, I'll turn back and turn, walk toward Jesus now. That's repentance. That's all it is. It's not even a big sacred word. It just means change your mind. Turn back to God. And that's what Jesus is saying. So from time to time, I hear people say, Christians are so narrow-minded. You guys ever hear that? This is what I say to that whenever I hear that. I say, yeah. And Jesus said, the way is narrow. Now, I want to make sure that if I ever talk to somebody who says Christians are so narrow-minded, that they're not looking at me. I want them to look at Jesus. And when they look at Jesus properly, they will see that Jesus says the way is narrow. So he's saying, Jesus here, people eating with Jesus isn't enough. People hearing Jesus teach in their streets isn't enough. No one is righteous by association. You've heard of the term guilt by association? You've probably heard about that, right? Those of you who are parents of junior hires and high school, always wondering what kind of peers your kids are hanging around, because who are they associating? Because if they can be drawn down the wrong path easily. And sometimes we place our kids in a place of guilt by association. Just because you know somebody makes you guilty. Of course, it really doesn't. Guilt, just being associated to somebody does not make you guilty. But neither is there such a thing as righteous by association. You're not righteous by association either. Oh, I associated with Jesus, that means I'm okay. No, it doesn't. There was a guy some years ago, decades ago, he wanted to be rich by association. His name is Ronald Rewald. You guys remember him? How many of you remember Ron Rewald? And he became notorious because he set up this company called Bishop Baldwin Rewald Dillingham and Wong. And turned out that nobody knew who Ronald Rewald was, and he wanted to get a little bit more notorious, so he put in some big names like Bishop Baldwin Dillingham, and he stuck his name right in there, and he wanted to be rich by association, famous by association. And anyway, he got caught, and he had this whole thing that he got, he was put in prison and things like that. But you don't get rich by association, and you don't get righteousness by association. God's terms is knowing Jesus personally. Going to a party with Jesus or having Jesus teach does not make you, does not get you into the narrow door. Hearing Jesus teach won't save you. How about hearing me teach? Maybe that will save you, huh? Say no. No, Stan. No luck. Sorry. Now, some other examples of the wide door is this. Well, first of all, this first one that Jesus is talking about is group identification. Jews thought that by being a descendant of Abraham automatically meant they were saved, just automatically. I'm in. Jesus is saying, not so. In fact, in the book of John, he was even more harsh than that. He said, you are the child of the devil. And so our association does not make any difference here. For us, how does that translate to us? By us just saying, I am a Christian or I identify as a Christian, I go to church, I go to potlucks, that's not enough. I'm good, I try to be good, I try to make my good works outweigh my bad works, so I'll have more merit to enter heaven. It's not enough. That's not going to work. Now, it's good to do good works, but that's not going to work. How about this? I grew up in the church, and I've always known the Lord. Now, if you know the Lord today, praise the Lord. But no one always knew the Lord. Somewhere along the line, you had to come to know and walk with Christ. And just growing up in the church is not going to save you. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How about this one? Assuming that everyone goes to heaven. You heard that one? God's love is so big that everybody's going to go to heaven. He's not going to send anyone to hell. First of all, God doesn't send anyone to hell. People go to hell because they followed the devil there. God's current, all of his current, all of his wind, all of his the pressure that God puts on is toward heaven. That's where he wants us to go. That's why all these warnings and words come up. He's saying, stay away from that wide door mentality. Take the narrow door. You're going to see many that are going to go through that wide door. And if you go through that wide door, you're going to see people who are entering that you never expected because they repented, they believed in Jesus, but you depended upon the wrong thing. They're going to be going through the narrow door, but you will be thrown out. Jesus is warning us like the Oahu Civil Defense, Central Pacific Hurricane Center is warning us so that we won't be thrown out. A narrow door is a door of faith demonstrated by obedience to Jesus. Those who truly believe in him turn from their ways and follow Jesus. So the kingdom of God is, first of all, relentlessly expanding. It's on God's terms. And thirdly, it's reaching the entire world. The kingdom of God is reaching the entire world. Luke 13, 29 through 30. Let's go ahead and read that. Ready, go. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first and first who will be last. Now, obviously, we know what the east, west, north, and south means. It means from everywhere on this world, people are going to come. Now, why is this so dramatic? It's not that dramatic for us, but it was very dramatic for the Jews back in the day. And it was dramatic because the Jews assumed that they're the only ones who are going to be saved. And when Jesus says those who are last are going to be first, he says those who are Gentiles, because they're last, are going first. They're going to go ahead of you into the kingdom. And those who are first, if you're a Jewish person and you think you're going to be in and you got it, you're going to be last. Because you entered through the narrow, through the wide door. Jesus reaches the entire world through trust and those who follow Jesus Christ. God is going through the whole world. That's the core of this message. As we wrap up here, I'd like to ask the band to come up. Jesus is saying here, the kingdom of God is relentlessly progressing all the way to the ends of the earth. And here's the point. The kingdom of God will relentlessly progress with or without you. Did you get that? The kingdom is going to progress with or without you. Jesus wants you to be there. He wants you to go with the kingdom. And I hope so too. As we consider how to respond to the words of Jesus, I'd like to identify three groups. You know, hurricanes are in our lives to serve as warnings to three groups of people today. The first are true followers. The true followers. These are the ones that are always ready. They're always prepared. But it's a reminder for these people to keep it up, to always be vigilant. There's another group, compromisers, those who call themselves Christians but really not interested really in following Jesus. They want to live their own life and just kind of have Jesus as a safety net. This is a warning that the path you are on might not lead to entrance into the kingdom of God. Third group is unbelievers. For the unbelievers, this is an opportunity to turn to Jesus and trust in him and assure your place in the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus. So no matter what group you're in, make every effort to enter the kingdom of God, not on your terms, but on God's terms. Get rid of that wide door mentality. Follow Jesus. Lord, we come to you. And as many of us sat anxiously wondering what the hurricane is going to do, all the way from a Category 5 would have ripped most of our roofs off our houses. Lord, I pray that you would allow us likewise to be watchful and vigilant. More importantly than any physical watchfulness is a spiritual watchfulness. Speak to us now, God. Allow us to hear your voice, the voice of Jesus, saying, enter through the narrow door. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Follow him through faith. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to open your heart to receive Jesus. He is that narrow door, but his call is going out to you today. And if you pray this prayer, Jesus, I have done it my own way for the longest time. And now I want to go and do things your way. I want to turn away from my own way and seek your way. Lord, give me entrance into that narrow door. I don't want to be left out. And if you, by faith, place your faith in Jesus Christ and invite him to be your Savior, he will save you today. And endeavor to follow him so that you will walk from this life into eternal dwellings. Thank you, Lord, for your teaching to us today. I pray that you give a message to each one of us, a message of warning, a message of joy, but a message of eternal vigilance, watchfulness, so that we can make sure that we are in that kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.